Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Morales. We're joined today by Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Doc, always nice to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the biggest news of the week and perhaps the most surprising news of the week. The ACLU of Kentucky has filed suit against Rowan County seeking $233,000 in legal fees and costs related to the case involving Kim Davis of last year. And to be honest with you, I thought things had been settled after the state went ahead and took the county clerk's names off the marriage licenses and they dismissed the lawsuit. I guess the federal court had dismissed the lawsuit. So I thought this whole thing was over, but apparently not.
Well, we thought it was over, too. They filed it the last day. They had an opportunity to actually file it. And I know Cecil, my county attorney, Cecil Watkins, was concerned. He kept looking to see if they were going to file it, but they did file it. And, of course, we'll try to defend ourselves, saying that we're not a part of that suit. It was she was acting on her own, acting as a state position versus a county position anyway, because marriage licenses are not it's a state-issued type thing. And so we think that when Cecil gets a chance, and we also I think Keiko's helping us on this as well, that we'll get the hopefully get dismissed from that lawsuit.
If I remember correctly, the county was involved early last year in the proceedings asking to be dismissed from everything because it does not really have the authority to tell Kim Davis what to do. She's an elected official as clerk, and that means that you as judge executive can't exactly order her around.
I can't order her to do anything. I can't order the sheriff to do anything. All I can do is I can talk to him and ask him to do things, but I can't demand. I can't force anybody to do anything in those positions. They make the same salary I do. They have the same rights that I do, and we just have different areas of expertise or different areas of governance.
You mentioned your county attorney, Cecil Watkins, earlier had kind of expected this to happen, so you did have an inkling that this might occur.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was concerned about it. I thought the thing was over, too, after the legislature went ahead and passed a bill to take pretty much her out of that, and where she didn't have to have her name on the marriage license. But Cecil, being an attorney, they get paid for worrying and get paid for looking out into the future, I guess.
So what happens from here?
Well, we'll just have to go through the process, and hopefully some judge will make a determination that we're not one of the players and that it'll be up to her attorneys at the time to decide who pays those fees.
Do you feel like on the ACLU's part that this is sort of a last gasp effort to try to recoup these legal fees?
I think it has to be a last. It's the last time they can file for this, as far as I know. And I think they just realized that the deadline was coming, and they went ahead and filed a suit. We'll have to see what damages people were put under. But now this is mainly for the fees for the attorneys and some decision whether which attorneys actually won that case.
Do you think this can be settled quickly?
Well, I hope everything's settled quickly, but it doesn't seem to work that way. So, we've got Keiko and Cecil to defend us, and I think they'll try to expedite as soon as they can.
Let's move on to another topic. We usually get an update regarding the brand new jail that's being built along US 60 east of Morehead. How are things coming?
Making progress. Right now the weather's been fairly good, and we're moving right along. We had a few, I think about $20,000 in change orders this time. I mean, that's just pretty normal. You're going to have change orders, especially in a big project like this. We went ahead and okayed those change orders. There's about a $20,000 increase. Our budget is built with some area, some amount of money. I don't want to mention the exact amount, but that we have contingency dollars to if something does happen like that. So it's not too shocking. It's not a major amount of money compared to the, you know, $17, $18 million project. So we're not ready to hoist the white flags yet, but our construction manager is doing a good job, Trace Creek, and trying to keep those dollars as low as they can. And they're trying to push back every time there is a change order to make sure it's something that's justifiable.
These change orders, they come from the State Department of Corrections, correct?
No, they're mainly from the Well, I guess the state would, so they've got some inspectors that look at those things, but one of them was basically, that was the last time we were just deciding to put in, instead of just, I'm trying to get the exact title, but we put in manholes. And there was an additional charge for the manholes because manholes are more expensive because it's a larger diameter than just putting in like a small pipe to flush things out or to be able to get rid of some of the clogs in a sewer system. And we went ahead and didn't have to do it, but we thought it was important to have, if we ever had a problem 15, 20 years down the road, we'll probably save dollars in being able to get a manhole in there and hopefully cleaning something out rather than having to dig everything up.
So, I mean, it's not really major things that are being changed.
Not major things. No, okay. We're very pleased with that big a project. You know, you're going to always – I don't know many projects especially goes over $1 million, and if you multiply that by 17 times or something, it's going to be usually quite a bit more. And we've got quite a bit more contingency in case that does occur, but we're hoping that – we've got about 85% of it that we were concerned about is already passed, and we had very few change orders in that first part of the production.
There was one change that was made in really the number of beds. I guess initially it was going to be 302, and then
that was on the bed count.
Right, and then it was 285. Is that right now?
I think it's 285, and we're actually we can go up to about 340 beds, I believe, because. I think we had planned double bunks in our isolation units, and they said, no, you can't do that, even though it had been done in prior years. But because of the new administration, new people, new personnel, they looked at it and said, no, you can't have those. But it doesn't preclude us from putting in what they call boats or mattresses to sleep people on the floor. And we're going to be able to do that. If you do that, we can hold about 340. So we're still going to be over 300 beds, and at over 300 beds, we think it'll hopefully not really create a profit, but at least keep the taxpayers' portion down as far as the money we have to put in to run the jail.
Yeah, the reason I was curious is because I was wondering if there was some impact with the changes in the number of beds to some of the contracts you might have with the counties that would be sending prisoners here.
Don't think that really changed anything, as far as we can tell.
All right. And speaking of that, I noticed in the agenda there were some agreements signed with Bath and Fleming counties.
Yes, that's a pretty normal thing. We do it, even though we really don't take any county prisoners now. You still go ahead and sign that. And that will be in the future. We'll continue signing. I think we sign them every year with the surrounding counties that they're willing to bring some of their prisoners here. And it's $35 a day is what we charge. And that's actually better than what the state gives. I think the state's around $32 a day we get for handling a state prisoner.
These counties that will be sending prisoners here, how many do we have now that will be doing that? Do you know?
Well, I think all the surrounding counties. You've got Bath and Fleming, you mentioned, Morgan, Elliott, Menifee. I'm not sure Carter has signed one, but I think they have as well because they've got a jail. But now if they get overcrowded, they may need a place. So you sign those contracts. And Fleming County, so I think there's seven counties. Lewis as well. I think all those counties have signed contracts with us to take care of their prisoners.
And this is sort of an unfortunate thing, but it sounds like you're not worried about filling all those beds.
It doesn't sound like it. I think there was some concern, I think, with 463, the House bill that was passed, where you let people out and you don't hold them, especially on first-time offenders, that we may not need as many jail beds, but that hasn't proven out. It looks like we're the state has actually had done away with some of the for-profit correctional prisons. And they're right now bringing those back online, even though the federal government has outlawed them for federal prisoners. So, I mean, we're in a tough bind right now. It's the state is and having enough beds to take care of the prisoners we have. And now we're going to have to bring open up two of those, Beattyville, and I think maybe the one in up in Pikeville or Prestonsburg, Floyd County, that they're going to open those back up to handle some of the state prisoners. We hope that, you know, that won't affect us. And we've been told that it won't affect us, so we're hoping that, it's a bad thing to hope that we're going to have more prisoners, but if you look at what's happening in the drug level and all this, the drug problem. We're going to see more and more people have to have some kind of treatment.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that in a moment because we had that recent public forum on the heroin issue here in our county. And just one last question regarding the construction. You drive by there, and the foundation is coming along pretty nicely. Imagine, yes. You know, this building is going to really dress up that side of Morehead, I would think. And I know it's a jail, but at the same time, well, it will look better than the old warehouse.
It's not going to look like a jail either. I don't think most people will realize it's even a jail because it's there's really not any windows per se in those cell blocks. I mean, they'll have opportunity to have some outdoor recreation, but that'll be inside an area where people, they'll be masked or pretty much hidden from the public. But that old warehouse was something that was not very, very attractive for people to drive through the community, and we think it'll be something positive. We wound up, we paid more for the property, but we're much closer to the courthouse, and it's going to hopefully save us money in the long run as far as for transportation.
I guess I said one last question. Actually, I have another one in the sense that you and I had talked about the fact that perhaps at some point down the road, the Rowan County Sheriff's Office might actually build on or move into that facility right next to the jail or somehow work that out. Is that still part of the plan down the road maybe? Or
I'm sure the sheriff would like to have more room for his people and do more training and those types of things. That was a move by the mayor and myself and the council and the court. He kind of talked about doing something jointly together for the not just the sheriff and the police departments, but also the EMS and some, maybe one of the fire departments as well. That's kind of gone on the back burner right now because I think we don't have the money to do it, and we're kind of bonded to the we can't bond anymore for a few years, and I think the city's got some bonding authority, but to build that big of a facility to take care of the county as well as the city, I don't think that's going to happen in the near future.
Well, let's talk about that public forum now. There are 200 to 300 people that showed up. Obviously, there's a great deal of concern about what heroin is doing to the community here.
Well, it's just not the heroin. I mean, we're still seeing a lot of deaths and overdoses from prescription drugs as well. That's been a main problem. And we tighten, it's like a balloon. You push one area and it pops out the other area. And we put a lot of good, I was there during that time. We passed some good legislation to get rid of some of these pill mills and some of these doctors who were taking advantage of their license. And as soon as you do that, then up pops heroin because it's cheaper and it's coming in from Mexico, we think, and they produce it down there. And it's created a real problem. I mean, anytime you could lose somebody's life, it's a tragedy. And we had, I think, 8 in one day overdoses. I think one person passed away from that, one fatality. But it kind of awakened this community that we're not isolated. We're right in the middle of it. There's some of the surrounding counties around us are probably some of the worst in the nation as far as HIV and hepatitis, and that's because of a lot of drug and drug use, intravenous drug use. And we had a lady that came to that. I think her name's Dr. Miller, and she made a presentation about needle exchange and showed some of the map of we've got some of the worst counties in the whole United States right around us. And I think our police department does a good job. I think they're trying to keep it out, but people can drive to another community, drive and bring it back home and use it. So, but I know I'm very proud of our sheriff's department and our police departments. I think we've got a lot of good, well-trained people that are doing the best job they can. But it still doesn't stop people from using drugs. I don't know if we can ever arrest our way out of that. We need more therapy and get people in treatment and try to solve whatever problems they can causing the problem.
There have been discussions regarding a needle exchange program here in Rowan County. Where do things stand, and what's your hope on this issue?
There's a meeting. We had a presentation at the forum, and let me say I was very proud of our community. I think you get 200 people come out on an evening. Beautiful afternoon and to sit in there and listen for about 3 or 4 hours about some real sad things that are occurring in your community. It was very awe-inspiring as far as some of the stories of people that have been able to kick heroin or drugs out of their life and continue to be good, become good taxpayers and trying to help people. The battle that our EMS and our Sheriff's Department, police departments are trying to battle this. We are looking at a needle exchange program. Some of the other communities in the state have already got them. I think Carter County's got one. I think LA County's actually decided to try to do something in that respect, Boyd County. It's something I've been pushing ever since we passed the law and has tried to raise the issue. But, you have to do that in kind of baby steps. You have to leave people alone and let them know, educate them the best you can. There's a meeting this Thursday, this evening. I'm going to be out of town. I've got the judges' conference to go to, and I've got some of the magistrates hopefully going to attend, but the health department's going to have a meeting. They'll probably have some of this lady come in and talk again. She met with us about a month or six weeks ago and gave a good presentation, similar to what the presentation she gave up there, that with a needle exchange program, you can actually save dollars because you can prevent HIV and hepatitis. Those are humongous amount of dollars to maintain those kinds of health problems. $80,000 to $150,000 per person, and it could be stopped or prevented with a 99-cent needle. Some people think it may be promoting it, but according to her research, it probably is not. Doesn't really promote it. By getting those people a place where they can get clean needles, that they can hopefully be around somebody that's offering some kind of treatment for those people, that maybe you can get some of those people off of those drugs and turn their lives around. There are miracles that do occur, and many of these programs, they were there that night to speak about what they can do and what they're able to do with people with addictions.
Do you expect at some point or another that Rowland County will have a needle exchange?
I believe we'll have to. I think it's kind of sticking your head in the sand by not having one because the jailer, Wes Coldarn, made some good testimony about it. He said he wasn't for it initially, but after being the jailer now, he's gone out with these people that he sends these inmates out to clean up and do mowing and stuff, and he says it's all over the community. It's at our playgrounds, it's everywhere, and that's kind of what woke me up. I was stopped by someone at a yard sale down on 60 going to the lake, and where the old clock used to be. And he took me over there and he said wanted to show me something. I thought, well, something for his yard sale, and now he took me over to where the grass and the weeds had been cut by him, and there were probably 20 or 30 hypodermic needles laying right there. You know, if somebody walk on to step on one, you know, they get HIV, they could get hepatitis. So it's a problem in this community, and I think Wes made a terrific plea to the people that we do have a problem with IV drug use in this community, and we're going to have to address it, and that's one way to address it.
Again, our guest is Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins on Front Page today. I'm Chuck Meraz. We will come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
We're back on today's Front Page. Again, we're talking with Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins about county business and kind of switching gears here, Judge Blevins. I saw in the new business area of the agenda for this week's fiscal court meeting that there was something dealing with the Morehead Recreation, Tourism, and Convention Commission, the Rowland Arts Promotions Foundation, and the Rowland County Fiscal Court. There was an agreement that was made. If you could explain that.
Well, they made a presentation. Tourism people who run the convention center, they want to basically take over some of the maintenance of the building, but I guess some of the custodial affairs of the business and try to do some more promotion for them and let the Arts Council maybe do more fundraising, take some of the burden off of them. That was presented to us. My attorney, Cecil Watkins, did not – he thinks we need a contract. We need to make sure it's properly done, and he's going to work with their attorney and hopefully come with something next month that we can look at and hopefully pass. And it makes some sense to do that, but we want to make sure that we're not doing something wrong that we could jeopardize any kind of funding that we've received in the past. There's one other thing in there I want to mention too, though, and that's I'm going to push for at least studying countywide zoning and planning in our community. We're one of
pretty controversial issue.
It's controversial, but I think people are becoming more educated about those things. I mean, there's ways to draft this, so it doesn't take many rights away from people. It's there to actually protect their rights as well. And we hope that we can come with some kind of we'll probably hold some public meetings. I've got to set up a subcommittee. I'm probably going to head that subcommittee and try to go out to each area of the community here, each one of the because it's going to be county, and we don't have to do too many hearings in the city. You already have it here in the city. But I think it would there's been some people come to me that would like to see zoning in certain areas because they want to protect their businesses. They want to protect their homes, their neighborhoods. I don't know if everybody's for it, but the only way you can find out is go out and hold some public meetings and listen to the people. Pendleton County, I think, has got a countywide zoning. That's kind of a rural area as well, and they passed theirs. I think it's something we need to look at. It's something for the future. I think, you know, you can bury your head in the sand and wait till something bad happens to a community, and then it's too late sometimes. So I think probably one of the impetus for this is a lot of people concerned about the liquid gas that is going to be hopefully prevented from being put into one of our old gas lines and reverse the flow. There's a lot of concerns. It's about 50 times more dangerous, 50 times more explosive, plus it also, if it leaks, can asphyxiate people in the vicinity if it doesn't explode. It's something that I know there's a big concern about it. It goes pretty close to some of our schools, some of our populated areas. And I think that kind of an issue sometimes can bring people attention that maybe we do need to do something to protect our community and protect the values of our property. So I'm going to try to set a committee up and try to find people that will serve on it. And we'll start holding some public hearings hopefully this fall and maybe into the winter and try to see what the feeling of the people in the community are about doing this. At least we can explore it. We're not mandating it. All we're doing is listening to see what the public input or the outcry is and try to move forward on it.
You mentioned that, and we'll transition into that Kinder Morgan pipeline project that you talked about. There's a federal agency that's looking at that right now and trying to determine safety of this project along with the environmental impact. They were supposed to issue a report here this month. They've now delayed it till early November. Are you hopeful that perhaps they may say, no, it's not going to happen?
I'm very hopeful it won't happen. I hope they'd issue a ruling against it because I don't. Right now, I've been told. I talked to a representative from Kinder Morgan, they're one of their lobbyists, and he didn't seem to think that they had a market for it right now. And hopefully, if there's no market, they may not want to do it now. But I guess their hope is there will be a market someday. But it has no real benefit for the community here. There's nothing we're going to gain from it. Big corporations might gain something, but as far as the people here in Round County that are going to be exposed to it, we're getting nothing. So I don't think it's a good deal for the community here, and hopefully the federal government will make a decision that it's not a good move on the for the whole United States not to have these things running through our community.
I know you've made a plea to Kinder Morgan officials to come to Rowland County, hold public meetings to discuss the project and what they feel, what makes the project safe. Have they thought some more about that? Because I know earlier they balked at it.
Well, I think they probably would still balk at it because, again, they're telling me they don't think it's actually going to happen. They'd like to have the permission to do it. They'd like to have the opportunity to do it if they can get a market for it. At least the lobbyist told me he didn't think that it was something that was going to happen. I guess they're going to continue to push for it, but he just wasn't real. Without a market, it's hard to put that kind of money into something. But now I think it's better to play defense and try to prevent something than it is to wait till it happens. So I'm glad the people in this community have brought it to our attention, and they're continuing to try to fight this battle. Again, I think it's very dangerous for our community, and I think it's something I'd like to see some way to stop it.
All right, Judge, as always, we appreciate your time on the Front Page. Always good to have you over.
My pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Again, that's Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins here on the Front Page today. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll see you next time.